Well, good morning. I'd like to welcome you to another edition of our Anchored in the Word Morning Reflection. I hope that you're having a wonderful Friday morning. It's very brisk out this morning, and I had a nice walk, and just looking forward to looking at a very interesting passage from Ecclesiastes 8. We're looking at four unpredictable ironies in life today. And so let's look at the verses, Ecclesiastes chapter 8, and it's verses 9 through 13. All this have I seen and applied my heart unto every work that is done under the sun. There is a time wherein one man ruleth over another to his own hurt. And so I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of the holy, and they were forgotten in the city where they had so done. This is also vanity, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore the heart of the sons of men are set in them to do evil. Though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with him that fear God, which feareth before him. But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are a shadow, because he feareth not before God. Now, when we come to the verses in front of us, what we're going to see is that Solomon addresses four unpredictable ironies that he has witnessed in life. And so if we want to summarize this passage, we could just put it very simply: life is not always predictable. And that's really what the book of Ecclesiastes has been about from the beginning. We talk about the book of Proverbs, we tend to think of the fact that here's a statement, this is an outcome we should expect in pretty much most circumstances. We come to the book of Ecclesiastes, what we see is that there are most circumstances that we witness are things that are not fully predictable. And when we look at this past year, 2020, I think this is a living example of how a year can be so unpredictable. When we started the year, we had no idea what kinds of things we were going to experience. And the truth is, our country has gone through just one after another unpredictable reality that we've had to deal with. And it's not just been in our nation, but really it's been all around the world. Well, life is like that. Sometimes we think that 2020 is the weirdest year that anyone's ever dealt with. But the fact is, when we look back over human history, we look at some of the things that people went through during World War I, say in the 1915 to 1918, 1920, those time periods, or going from the Roaring Twenties into the Great Depression, thinking about World War II. When we think about these time periods, we recognize that this is not unusual in the sense that life is full of unpredictability. And so Solomon's going to talk about some of those ironies that he's witnessed in life. And he says, you know, I would not have expected this, but this is how things work sometimes. So let me give you those four realities. The first is this: just because someone has power doesn't mean that they're going to benefit from it. You know, we think of a person having power and authority, we think, well, they're in the position of strength. And so when a person's in a position of strength, they're going to financially benefit from that. They're going to basically take advantage of that. And we need to realize it's not always the case. In fact, in verse 9, he says, all this I've seen and applied my heart unto every work that's done under the sun. There is a time wherein one man ruleth over another to his own hurt. Now, when he says it's to his own hurt, he says it's not that he's abusing his power, but he's actually being abused personally by his power. In other words, leading is not always easy. Some people abuse their power. Others are abused by those who are under their power. Now think about someone who basically rises to a position of preeminence, and they actually become a good leader. And all of a sudden, someone under their authority begins to want their power, and they undermine that person. They try to destroy them. Maybe a person gets assassinated. When we look at human history, we see that there are people that rise to power, sometimes they're good kings, and they're taken out by someone who is evil and wants to destroy them. You know, think about something like the U.S. presidency, and think over the last four or five presidents. If you were to look at a picture of those men when they took office versus the day that they left office, and you compare them side by side, what do you see? You see a man who came into office with youth and vitality in many situations, and when they left, they looked like they'd aged decades in just 4 to 8 years. Well, the fact is that that's what leadership sometimes deals with. You're dealing with a huge weight of responsibility. You always are being critiqued. people who you may be actually sacrificing for the well-being of may not appreciate or understand what you're doing. You're going to be undermined by people who hate you. And so Solomon says, when you would think that someone in authority is going to benefit from that position, in reality, I have seen people who have actually suffered in the position of power, and it's destroyed them physically and perhaps even emotionally because of all the pressures that they felt. A second irony that Solomon mentions. Just because someone has a semblance of religion actually doesn't mean much. In verse 10, he says, I saw the wicked buried who had come and gone from the place of the holy. They were forgotten in the city where they had so done. This is also vanity. He said, it amazes me how I can see someone in life who I know has poor character, a person of ill repute. When he talks about someone being wicked, I think the sense is that they do destructive things in their community. Yet this person who is known to be wicked goes into the temple and presents themselves as if they're actually a religious person, a person who fears God, a person who uses their religion as a ploy. And he said, in the end, you know what's amazing about this? Here's a person known to be wicked, uses religion to accomplish their own purposes. And in the end, people forget about them when they die. They forget about the inconsistencies. It's as if they live their life and they do what they do, and then they're forgotten. And he says, this doesn't make sense. But it's reality. It's absolutely reality. The third thing that he mentions, not all governments do their job. Now, let's remember that Solomon is a man who's a king. And Solomon's father, David, was a man of war. He was a man who established rule in Israel. Let's remember that the time leading up to Saul and David was a time where there were judges in Israel, and everyone did what they wanted to do. And it was a time of tremendous chaos. And we see this cycle where the nation of Israel has an established authority, and people do fine for a while, and then that person dies. People do their own thing, and at the end of that, they end up under some kind of oppression. God allows their enemies to come and give them trouble, and then they cry out to God, and then God raises up a deliverer, and we see this cycle in Israel's history. Well, between Saul and David, Israel establishes itself as a nation, and there's order in the nation. And so when you think about government, you realize that God created government to basically keep evil under control, to protect those who are innocent, to defend those that cannot defend themselves. Yet this is what he says in verse 11. He says, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, the heart of the sons of men is set in them to do evil. He says, I have seen people in government, people who have the responsibility to defend and protect those under their care, and rather than them doing their job, they allow people to do what is evil. They allow people to do things that are destructive. They allow people to take advantage of those that are around them. And rather than them executing justice and actually dealing with evil, they withhold their hand of restraint. And he said, you know what happens? When people have evil plans and people are abusive and people who do destructive things are not restrained by the government, then what they do is they become emboldened in their evil. And he said, this is a tremendous, tremendous irony in life, that a government wouldn't do its job to actually protect its citizens. And by doing that, they embolden evil people. Let me ask you a question. Is that not a reality in our own day? Isn't it true that in some of our cities, we have governments that rather than dealing with those who are doing violent things in their communities, are actually letting them get away with it and emboldening them in their evil? This is the kind of thing that Solomon's talking about. It's a sad reality. It's a sad irony that he sees. It's not something that he could have predicted. The fourth thing that he mentions is that even though some people who are evil prosper, godly people are still ultimately in a better position. He says, though a sinner does evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. And then in verse 13, he actually continues developing that concept. But basically what Solomon is saying is this. When you see evil people prosper, in the back of your mind, you begin to ask the question, is there really any benefit to me living a principled moral life? In other words, the reason that I'm not in a position of power is because I'm not using unprincipled means to get to that position. Yet I'm seeing other people who are advancing through deception, through brute force, through devious plans. And he says, it appears for the moment that the person who's unprincipled, the person who's dishonest, the person who's evil is in the better position than I am. Yet this is what Solomon says. In the end, it's actually not true. The irony is that though at the moment it appears that the evil prosper, in the end, those who fear God are the ones who are going to be in the position of blessing. And so basically what Solomon is saying in these four ironies is that life is not always predictable. Sometimes what you expect will not be what you see. And so the question is, how do we respond to that reality that life's not always predictable? Well, the first thing I'm going to say is this. Don't get discouraged when you see this. The fact that Solomon is putting it before us is supposed to help us to realize, look, there are times that when you see things in life, you go, I don't know how to make sense of this. I'm frustrated. And Solomon says, it's okay. That's how life is under the sun. The second thing I'm going to mention is this. We need to remember what Asaph went through personally. There is a psalm where Asaph talks about how he saw the prosperity of the wicked. And when he saw the prosperity of the wicked, he began to ask himself, have I lived for God in vain? Have I lived in a way that's principled and measured and restrained and there's really no benefit to it? He says, that's what I thought. And I was discouraged and I felt like quitting. And then he said, I remembered their end. I remembered that God ultimately is just. And even though God allows these ironies to take place, there comes a point where God says, enough is enough. I'm still sovereign. I'm still in control. The most powerful, abusive person will not stay in that position forever. There will be a day that God steps in and removes them. Those situations where people are not being treated fairly or justly, let's use the term justly, there will be a day that God vindicates those who've not been given justice. The fact is that there is an eternity and there is a judgment and there is a God in heaven who does what is right. And so in the midst of looking at life and being perplexed, we need to realize that what we see is not the whole story. I hope that that'll be an encouragement to you this morning. As I thought about this passage in front of us, it reminds us that though life is not always predictable, God is still in control and he's still on his throne. And so we need to do what's right and trust him. I hope this will be an encouragement to you this morning. If it has, please share that. And Lord willing, on Monday, we'll resume our studies as we continue in Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Let's bow together for a word of prayer. Father, thank you for the opportunity to study this passage. I know it didn't really outline in the best way possible, but it actually just expresses a very simple thought that life is not always predictable. Help us to learn to trust you. Help us to be consistent in doing what's right. And I pray that we would, in the end, we would learn by experience that you truly are good, that you are just, and that you do what is right in the affairs of people. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, well, it's been good to chat with you this morning. I hope that you have a great rest of your day and a wonderful weekend. Lord willing, we'll meet again on Monday. Bye now.